2 Kings 23, verses 28 to 30, and 2 Chronicles 35, verses 20 to 27. I'll be staying with the 2 Chronicles 35 passage. Josiah's sad end. I could use other words. Strange end. Mysterious end. But I'll call it sad end. Josiah's sad end. This is what happened. Verse 20 of 2 Chronicles 35. After all this, when Josiah had set the temple in order, Necho, king of Egypt, went up to fight at Carchemish on the Euphrates. Let me just pause there. Here are two events. Josiah, not quite 40 years old, still in the prime of life, fully occupied in Jerusalem. He has set the temple in order. Now, move over to Egypt. Necho, king of Egypt, for some reason or another, has gone to fight a war on the Euphrates. Now, these are two events that don't seem to have any connection whatsoever. And yet, Josiah pokes his nose in. For some reason or another, which we're not given here, Josiah marched out to meet him in battle. Why did he do it? It's very odd, very strange here. Seems foolish. God's providence is here, of course. And as John Flavel rightly said in his book, The Mystery of Providence. And as William Cowper in his hymn said, God moves in a mysterious way. That's one of the words I could have used here. Josiah's mysterious end, his mysterious death. Strange, odd. Why did Josiah march out? It's not only that he did it, look what we read here, but Necho sent messengers to him, verse 21. What quarrel is there between you and me, O king of Judah? It's not you that I'm attacking at this time, but the house with which I am at war. I'm at war on the Euphrates. I'm not bothering with Jerusalem. God has told me to hurry, so stop opposing God who is with me, or he will destroy you. Now again, here's some mysterious stuff. But God, through Necho, this pagan, God is actually warning Josiah, don't poke your nose in. If you put your hand into this fire, I get burnt, my friend. Don't do it. But this godly man, and he was a godly man, he had done great things and godly things for Judah. He seemed to be determined to get involved. I'm learning two things here, the old two things we see over and over again in Scripture, God's sovereignty and man's responsibility. Josiah seems determined. Well, he is determined. He seems foolish. Well, he is foolish. He would not listen. He wouldn't listen to common sense. He wouldn't listen to Necho. And I can say he wouldn't even listen to God speaking through Necho, because God told him. But he got involved. He was prayerless. I don't read of any prayer. He didn't seem to have any thought about it. He didn't seem to take any consultation. He didn't go to any prophet. He seemed to be willful as well as stupid and rash, foolish. And he got hit, verse 23. He would not turn. He disguised himself to engage in battle, but that won't work. And he was hit. He would not listen to what Necho has said at God's command, but went to fight him on the plain of Megiddo. And they killed Josiah. Well, they hit him, and he was taken back in his chariot to Jerusalem. He died and was buried in the tombs. And all Jerusalem and all Judah lamented for him. Jeremiah composed laments for him. Yeah, and Josiah. And to this day, all the men and women singers commemorate Josiah in these lamentations. These became a tradition in Israel and are written in the lamentations, the laments. The other events of Josiah's reign and his acts of devotion, and they were acts of devotion, according to what is written in the law of the Lord. Yes, he did go back to the word of God. He did go back to the covenant. He did go back to the law. are written in the books of the kings of Israel and Judah and so on. But what do we learn from this? Well, we learn, as I say, these two lessons: man's responsibility and God's sovereignty. I can speak of God's mercy to Josiah. We know that he did not live to see the judgment that would come upon Judah. He knew it was coming, but he did not live to see it. But he was cut off in his prime, and I must say he was cut off because of his willful, rash, stupid folly. God is sovereign, but man is responsible. Now, I'm speaking either to believers or unbelievers. Let me address the unbeliever. If any unbeliever is listening to this, you are responsible before God. You will perish if you do not believe, if you do not trust, if you do not call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. John 3:18-19. John 3:36. John 12:35. God is merciful to you. He is stretching out his hands. Romans 10:21. He is stretching out his hands all day long to a disobedient people. An unbeliever, you are disobedient. And John 3:12, you will perish in your unbelief unless you repent and trust the Savior. You are responsible to repent. You are responsible to call upon the name of Christ. And if you will not, then you will perish. Don't become foolish. Don't stay foolish. I say don't become, you are foolish, because already you've heard the invitation. Don't remain foolish and go on and perish in your unbelief. And now the believer. I speak to myself. Josiah was 40, just about 39, when he died. I'm much older than that. And the older we get, the more foolish we can become. He was cut off in his prime. It's a warning to us. Time is passing, brother and sister. We must work while it is day, John 9:4, because the night is coming when no man can work, and our dying day gets nearer. I can't explain God's mysterious providence and my responsibility, but I know I have responsibility, and I know God is sovereign. I see both of these in Josiah's sad end. What a disappointing end it seems to be to such a great reign. Let us remember all the great and godly things he did, but nevertheless, what a warning he is even in the end of his days. And may he, being dead, still speak to us. May we not be prayerless. May we consult the word of God. May we not be willful, rash, foolish. May we be trusting in God in all ways and obedient to him. The lessons are plain. May God speak to us and help us to apply them to our lives for Christ's sake. Amen.